Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us today on the journey. We are in a four-part series on Fridays that we've titled God's B-Team. Fascinating stories of easily forgotten people. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at a little girl. Last Friday, we looked at a poor widow. If you've missed any of those in this series, they're freely available in our podcast feed or at charlestownroad.org. Roger, part three, we're turning to a man who lived in the days of Jesus and played such a fascinating role in the last hours of Jesus' life.
His name is Simon of Cyrene. His story is told to us in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And all three just have one verse. And you might wonder, how can we get so much out of one verse? But you'll stay with us, and you'll see this. So I'm going to read Matthew's account and then Luke's account, talk a little bit about the background here. And then in a moment, Jason will read us what Mark says about that. But Matthew 27, and in verse 32, it says, "As they were coming out, they found a certain Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to bear his cross." Now, the background of the story, Jesus has been to the high priest. He's been tried. He's been gone to Pilate. He went to Herod and went back to Pilate. Finally, Pilate could not calm the crowd down, so he decides to let Jesus be executed. So Jesus is carrying his cross. That's what condemned people did. They carried their cross to the site of the execution. But in the process of this, the Roman guards pulled in Simon of Cyrene to help Jesus carry this cross.
They forced him, it says. And that reminds me of a statement of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 in his Sermon on the Mount, where he says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. His original audience would have known what that meant. A Roman soldier could come along and compel you or force you to carry something. That's what's going on there in Matthew.
And of course, the feeling between the Romans and the Jews was not good either direction. And so you don't resist a Roman soldier, or you be carrying a cross yourself, and that's not a good thing to do. Luke says it this way, Luke 23, and in verse 26, he says, "And when they led him away, they laid hold of one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus." Now, let's just kind of give a little background to the story here. And then there's lots of lessons here we want to look at today as we talk about this wonderful man named Simon. We're not sure if he really knew who Jesus was at this occasion. It seems like he was coming in and the crowd was going out. And they grabbed him and just maybe pulled him out of the crowd and says, "Here, you're going to carry this." And there's no real indication he understood who Jesus was. Cyrene was in North Africa. It's west of Egypt. And it's a long way from Jerusalem. And you might wonder, well, what's this guy doing here? In the book of Acts, and in chapter 2, it tells us that there were Jews from all over the world basically coming to Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. One of the places mentioned in Acts 2, verse 10, is Cyrene. So obviously he was probably a Jew coming in for the feast days, which Jews are supposed to do.
The Passover at this point in Jesus' life.
Yeah, I think I said Pentecost. Yes, the Passover. Mm-hmm. And so in the process, this is when Jesus is being crucified, and they grab Simon and make him do this. Jesus likely is very weakened and unable to carry his cross. He has been up long hours. He's been beaten. He's been scourged. That alone killed a lot of people right there. The cross was heavy to carry, and so Jesus in this weakened state is likely stumbling multiple times, And to get him to the site, they just pulled in Simon and had him carry this cross.
You know, you read from Matthew and Luke. Mark chapter 15 and verse 21 gives us even another little wrinkle that deepens this story. We know that Simon was a father of two sons. Now, we're not specifically told, and we're trying hard not to read into what's not there, but we know that Mark specifically mentions two sons. We don't know if those two sons were with Simon on this day. That is certainly a distinct possibility. But let me read Mark 15, verse 21. They compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And so let's just put ourselves back into that scenario. Here is this man. He's traveled a long ways. It all certainly fits together. There are out-of-towners coming into Jerusalem for the Passover. He is coming into the city from the country. If he has his sons with him, can you imagine how terrifying this would have been? Roger, as you mentioned, we don't know that he knows anything about Jesus. He is coming into the city, and suddenly this band of soldiers with a man who has just been beaten literally to a bloody pulp, carrying this cross. Now suddenly the attention of the soldiers is on Simon. You are going to carry this cross. But it's fascinating, Roger, if we just start maybe tracing as much as we can the names, at least, of these two sons of Simon.
We know pretty well that Mark wrote his gospel for Christians. It's a short gospel. It just has a specific direction, a specific point. And how interesting, of the three gospels that talk about this story, it's Mark, who is writing to Christians, that tells us about Rufus and Alexander. Years later, in Romans 16, the Apostle Paul mentions a Rufus. This is almost like a footnote. And, you know, my thinking is, again, we can't, you know, be definitive on this 100%, but my thinking is this is something the people would have made connection with. They would have known this name.
Let me read Romans 16, verse 13. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well, Paul says.
And so how interesting, if this is the same Rufus, that it was his father who carried the cross, very likely stuck around Day of Pentecost, when we see so many of those being taught by the apostles, learning who Jesus is, and that years later the son grows up and he too it becomes a dominant disciple that helps the apostles. Powerful thing to think about. The name Alexander is also found in the New Testament. It comes to us in the book of Acts chapter 19. The background of this story is Paul's in Ephesus and things are not going well. There's a riot taking place. And things are really, really upside down. And in the midst of all that, there rises the name Alexander.
Yeah, let me read beginning in verse 32. Some in this riotous crowd cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward, and Alexander, motioning with his hand, wanted to make a defense to the crowd, but when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they all cried out with one voice, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Again, we can't prove definitively, but we know Alexander, here in Acts 19, is a Jew.
And he's wanting to make a defense of the things that's taking place. Well, we're not done yet. We've got another footnote we need to look at. Here in Acts chapter 11 and in verse 19, as the disciples have been scattered out of Jerusalem because of the persecution and the death of Stephen, they all went elsewhere, and the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but disciples went everywhere. It says in verse 19, so there arose those who scattered because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen, made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene.
Where Simon was from.
Simon of Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now, was Simon among that? We don't know. We can't make that obvious point. But it's interesting to see these connections in our Bible. It's interesting to think as a Simon or as an Alexander or a Rufus to think that your father carried the cross of Jesus. Lots of interesting thoughts with that. Now, from this, there are some interesting parallels we want to make with you. One of the first one we need to see is that Simon carried someone else's cross. They pulled him out of the crowd, told him to carry this cross. Simon was not going to be executed. This was not Simon's cross. This was the cross of Jesus. But what a mirror that is, and what a bridge that is to what Jesus does for us. Jesus carries a cross that really is our cross, but he carried it for us. He was nailed to that cross. That should have been our death, but he died for us. And in this way, Simon is carrying the cross of Jesus.
Yeah, revisiting what I read, the account in Mark's gospel, Mark 15, verse 21, those Roman soldiers compelled a passerby. That's all Simon was in that moment. He was just passing by. When I hear that last word, passerby, it makes me think of Jesus's famous Good Samaritan parable, where you've got a priest who is passing by, and here is a man in desperate need, lying bloodied and beaten in a ditch. And what does he do? He just continues to pass by. And then there is a Levite who sees and passes by on the other side. But then there's a Samaritan who is also passing by. And Roger, you've made the great point about Jesus, of course, picking up and taking the cross that we deserve to bear. But he has not simply done that as, okay, a great historical event. He encourages us to take up our crosses, follow him. Some of what it means to follow him perhaps is even ourselves being passers-by and seeing people who aren't able to bear the burden of life today or tomorrow or for this season. And what a sacred privilege, in a sense, to help them bear their crosses.
And Simon just, you know, he was just grabbed out of the crowd. I mean, I don't think the Jews really, or the Romans rather, gave a lot of thought to this. Jesus needed to get to the execution site, so they just pulled him out and called him into service, and this is what took place. A second point we need to think about here. Simon was innocent of the charges that Jesus carried. Now the Jews called Jesus a blasphemer, and when they went to Pilate, the Roman, they accused him of causing insurrection. That wasn't Simon. Now, Simon had his own sins, but that wasn't Simon in this case. And again, what a bridge to you and I. Jesus carries our sin. Jesus became sin, is what Paul told the Corinthians. And so, again, the innocent carrying the cross of the guilty. And that's something I think we see in that concept there.
God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. What a profound reality to think about here as we head into the weekend.
And then the third thought that I had from this, and it's interesting what a simple verse this is, and how God through all eternity wants us to know this. I mean, we're not given a lot of the details about the hammering of the nails into his arms and his feet. We're not told a lot about the scourging. In fact, there's just one statement. He was scourged. It doesn't go through the graphic details. But this one incident, pulling Simon out of the crowd and having him carry the cross, the Lord wants us to know this story. And I think it's significant that we spend some time on that. And then the third lesson I see in this is Simon helped fulfill God's will. It was the will of the Lord that Jesus die on that cross. In the book of Isaiah, that great prophecy about the death of Jesus, it said it pleased the Lord to crush him. This was necessary to bring back that relationship that had been lost since the Garden of Eden. And Simon played a little small, we may even say insignificant role, but he played a role in that by helping Jesus carry that cross. The Romans, as mean as they were, when Jesus fell, they could have just taken a sword out and just be done with Jesus right then. But that would not have fulfilled the prophecy. The prophecies was that he had to go to the tree, he had to go to the cross. And all this is going on very rapidly. I know the Romans don't know about the prophecy. Simon probably didn't think about it at this moment. He doesn't know who Jesus is. But it all fulfills in God's wonderful, wonderful plan.
You know, it's just fascinating to try and put yourself back 2,000 years ago. This man from literally hundreds and hundreds of miles away in North Africa has traveled to Jerusalem. As you said, we know that he is a Jew. We know that the reason Jews would have traveled to Jerusalem from all over the world on this occasion is the Passover. And so if you're from North Africa traveling as a Jewish male to Jerusalem for Passover, more often than not, we know historically, culturally, you wouldn't bring a lamb hundreds and hundreds of miles away. You would come into Jerusalem, you would purchase a lamb and have that ready as your sacrifice according to the law of Moses. You know, you imagine how far this man has traveled. He's coming into the city, ready perhaps to buy a lamb. Maybe he's got one already with him. We don't know. The lamb that God has prescribed that be offered for Simon of Cyrene's sins. But in the process of doing that, in a small way, he carries the cross of the Lamb of God, given by God for the sins of all of the world. What an amazing configuring of events there. There are so many things going on in these last few chapters of the Gospels that we know are not an accident. They are not a coincidence. What does he do next? We don't know. How does he spend that night? We don't know. Does he stay there at the foot of the cross? How long does he stay in Jerusalem? We don't know. But Roger, as you mentioned, we know that about 50 days later, at the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, same city of Jerusalem, we know there were people from Cyrene who hear the gospel, they see the dots connected, they hear Peter's great conclusion, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ.
You know, Paul Harvey used to always have this thing when he told his stories, the rest of the story. And a lot of these little unknown people we're talking about in the Bible, we don't know the rest of the story. We don't know what happened to that servant girl that helped Naaman. These stories are kind of lost to us. And we would love to know what happened to Simon after this. When reality finally hit him, when he finally realized whose cross that was that I carried, who was it that I helped be executed? When all of that came to reality, what did that do to him? And the same thing could be, what does it do to us? Because it was the cross that Jesus carried, it should be our cross. What does it do for us? It ought to make us be drawn closer to the Lord, make us appreciate that wonderful and powerful sacrifice that changes our lives. And how in just a simple, single verse here in Matthew and Mark and Luke, just little statements here, there's just profound, profound lessons in all this. And to think that if indeed the Rufus of Romans 16 is his son, to think that his son did not hide in shame the rest of his life because my dad carried Jesus' cross. Rather, he, if it is the same man, became a disciple, became powerful in the kingdom, became useful to Paul, and that he did what he could do because it's the Lord that we serve. It's the Lord that we follow.
Fascinating stories of easily forgotten people. Lord willing, we've got one more next Friday. But if this was helpful and encouraging to you, maybe by sharing it with others, you could shine a little bit of light and hope and purpose on their lives, their minds, their hearts as we head into the weekend. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it continues to help you set your mind on things above and give you a little more fuel for your own journey. We encourage you as we head into the weekend. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is always yet to come.